Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Morning, good morning. How's everybody? Good? Alive and well, enjoying this low country fall. Anybody enjoying the low country fall? Yes. Hallelujah. It's like my favorite time to walk outside, a little crisp in the air. You know, the fog this morning, had to navigate through that, but you made it in person, right? We are so glad you're here. If you're joining us online, we love you too, and we are thankful that you are here. If you're joining us online, my name is Daniel. I'm the pastor here at the Bridge Church, and you are joining at an incredible time because we're launching a brand new series today, and we are studying, looking through, talking about the book of Ruth. And I love the book of Ruth because I believe it's almost like this hidden gem in the Old Testament. And we talk about it some, but once we get to the end of Ruth, we're going to spend 5 weeks in Ruth. And once we get to the end of it, I'm telling you, it is so impactful to the overall story of the Bible, to the overall story of what God can do. And so some of the big themes that we see here in this entire book is tragedy, loyalty, and redemption. And so we see how all of those things only, I'm already preaching, but I'm going to get there in my message, but only in God's kingdom can we see those three things come together and God turn them into good, right? Like those three things, like over the next 5 weeks, that's what we get to see. And I love that. I'm excited about it. So I'm going to pray for us, ask God to speak to our hearts this morning, and then we're going to jump right in because we got some work to do. And I'm believing, I love Sundays because I wake up like giddy because the Holy Spirit gets to unite us together. We get to open up his word, and there's something about seeing your smiling faces, seeing people comment online about the church being together, right? I'm like, these are my people. Like, we're here together. We're walking together. We're doing this thing called life together. We're encouraging each other, all of those different things. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be here. Thankful for another day, right? But let's pray together and ask God just to speak this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. God, thank you so much for your truth. Thank you for each and every person that can hear my voice. God, I believe, I honestly believe my whole heart is by divine appointment that whoever is listening is hearing your words, God. I pray that I would decrease so that you may increase. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, God. I pray that you bring revelation, bring illumination to the word maybe we've never seen before, God. I'm praying that through this series, you take us to a whole nother depth in our relationship with you, God. I pray that as the church will take our mask off and say, God, this is me. God, this is us. Work through us, broken clay jars, so that your glory can move through us, God. We love you. We ask all this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. As I think about the book of Ruth, I begin to think about this particular thing. Have you ever wanted to have a day where you're just like, you know what? Today, anything goes, right? Like, today I am going to just do whatever I want, do whatever I feel. You ever wanted to have one of those days before? Yes, exactly. Like, I don't know. We can't do every day like that, right? Like, that's not realistic, because if it were, I would drink 8 cups of coffee and eat 12 bags of gummy bears all day, right? Like, I would have fajitas for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but we just can't do that, right? Like, my kids, they would go to bed at midnight or 1 a.m. every single night, right? They would want hot dogs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? Like the mystery meat, whatever a hot dog is. Like, we would want that, right? And if we're honest with each other, that's good in the short term, or it may bring temporary fulfillment. But we know in the long term that it's not sustainable, right? It's not healthy. We just can't do whatever we want all the time, or maybe do whatever we feel is good, or all those different things. And I love that illustration because this is where we are when the book of Ruth starts. In fact, when the book of Ruth starts in the history of the Old Testament, we see that there was, you know, Moses and these guys, and then Joshua took over. They were leading the Israelites. And then as they got done in their leadership, God appointed these judges to rule over the land, all of these different judges in different areas. And so now they're ruling the land. again. But what has happened is that these judges were leading people astray. And the Israelites and God's people began, and this is what it says here, the very last verse of Judges, Judges 21, let me see here, 21 verse 25. It says, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And we see that's where this story is. That's where God's people are. And I begin to think about that. And just like I was talking about earlier, if we all did what was right in our own eyes, there would be days, right, where it's like, well, that's not sustainable, right? Like, that's not healthy. And I had this thought, and as we think about even culture and our society today, is that when you and I begin to walk in our life, we see that anytime our moral conduct gets hyper-focused, right? Like our moral conduct zooms in on one person, and it's kind of like your truth becomes your truth, or the way do what makes you, right? Like if we get hyper-focused in that, and then every time in the wake of that, we see confusion and trouble begin to happen, right? Because it causes confusion. It's like, well, if your way is right and your way is right and your way is right, then which way is actually right? I don't know which way to go, and I'm left to try to figure this thing out on my own, right? Or now, because I know for myself, there are some days where I may not have good thoughts, right? Like I want to do things maybe to another person. You're just like, come on, right? Like I can't have those all the time. I can't just succumb to what I think is right. I need somebody that has his thoughts that are higher than mine. I need somebody who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who's not swayed by culture. I need somebody to give me a true north to say, okay, well, what is good? Because right now I'm confused. I don't know what's right. I don't know which way is the right direction. But we as a people, we as human beings, I would even argue that we're even created to long for that, to say, what is good? Can you give us that direction? And I believe it's God in us, giving us that moral code, giving us that direction, giving us that wisdom. And as we walk with him, we see that. And so as Judges finishes up, that's where Ruth comes in. We have this beautiful picture, and the main character is Ruth, but we see the story start off where you have Naomi and her husband. So you have these two people who are Israelites who grew up as God's people. They were from Bethlehem, right? Everybody remember Bethlehem from the Christmas story where Jesus was born? We have Naomi, I almost said Chloe because we got some friends that are named, anyway, Naomi and her husband from Bethlehem. Well, a famine hits the land, and there's no food in the Bethlehem area. And so they pick up their family and they move to a city called Moab, okay? And so they get engulfed in the Moabites, and 10 years passes. This was just going to be a temporary move. We need to go there because there's food. We need to go there because this is a bigger city, and we can establish ourselves there. So they pick up, they move. Well, 10 years passes. And in fact, they have two sons, and these two sons end up marrying two Moabite women, okay? So she has, it's her husband, two sons, and they marry two Moabite women, which if we read in the Old Testament law, God actually says, I want you to marry another Israelite. I want you to do this. But so they go, and because they're in this Moabite nation, they kind of go against what God has called them to do. And this is going to come back later that we're going to see here and later in the book of Ruth and what God can do even in the midst of all of that. And so we have this. Now, this is where the book of Ruth begins to turn. Because we read in during this time, during their 10 years here in Moabite, in the Moab nation, that Naomi loses her husband. Her husband passes away. And not only that, throughout these 10 years, Naomi loses both of her sons. I mean, can you imagine in this 10-year span? We don't know why. We don't know how. We don't even know the order. But I just know in 10 years, that's a hard 10 years. I mean, that is tragedy to lose your spouse and then your two sons, your only two sons. So Naomi is left here, I'm sure, questioning. I'm sure angry. I'm sure all of these emotions, tragedy has hit Naomi's home. And I believe that as we read here, we're going to pick up here in Ruth chapter 1. We're going to read verses 6 through 9 because we're going to see how Naomi begins to react when tragedy like this hits. And I believe there are some things that we can learn from that. And then we're going to work through Ruth chapter 1. And everybody still with me? Everybody good? All right. So we're going to start in verse 6, read through verse 9. It says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband.' Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept." So we get this picture. Naomi hears that back where she's from, a little closer away from Moab, that God has blessed their nation, and food is coming back, and it is being restored. So they decide to pick up. She's like, "I need to move back. My husband's not here. In fact, my two sons are not here anymore." And now she has her daughter-in-laws, and she's kind of taken a moment of going, "I'm releasing you as my daughters-in-law. We're not joined together, right, in this union of your marriage by law. So go back." She's like, "I want you to live your lives. Find new husbands. Go back to your parents' house if you have to, and stay here in Moab where you're from." And we get this picture. But what I love, and this is, I believe, a principle that you and I can get, that this is something that Naomi is doing. She, tragedy hits, right? And then she gets word that God is moving back in her land. She knows that this is the land that God actually called her and her ancestors to. And so when tragedy hit, I believe there is a principle that you and I can cling to. And this is the first, if you're taking notes here. When tragedy hits, move toward God. When tragedy hits, move towards God. Tragedy, I'm talking about insurmountable. I can't even begin to think, ask, or imagine what is happening and going through Naomi's mind. But she hears that God is moving back in her homeland. And I need to get back to where God is. I need to go back maybe to my ancestors. I need to get back close to God. And we see this principle when things just go awry, it is so easy for my mind, for my emotions to want to move away from God, right? To take that anger and go, "God, I cannot believe you let this happen," right? "I cannot, like, this is not right. This is unnecessary," right? And it's easy to all of a sudden create this separation. And then the enemy comes in, right? And he doesn't see us in this tragedy and go, "Well, let's give him a break." No, sowing more seed of doubt, more seed of fear, more seed of shame, more seed of guilt. And you and I, in these moments, in these uncertain times in our lives, and maybe we're not in a tragedy or a hard season or uncertain season, but maybe we know someone who is, or maybe we may get into one at some day. But for you and I to know that I need to make my way toward God, not away. And sometimes we can begin to think, maybe we've heard this in church or somebody's told us this, that we can't bring our questions to God. Don't you do that, right? Don't bring your anger to God. Don't bring, like, maybe we've heard that before, but I'm here to say God is a big boy. Like, God, right? Like, God can handle our questions. God can handle our concerns. God can handle, we're thinking them anyway. And I'm going to, spoiler alert, he already knows, right? He already knows what we're wrestling with. So we need to take the mask off before God. And when that happens, don't take it away from God. Take it to God and trust it into his hands and allow ourselves and our minds wrestle with it with God. I love this in the New Testament where John the Baptist, he's getting ready to be beheaded because he's following Jesus, and he starts to question. He goes, "Hey, can you go ask Jesus? Go ask him if he's really the one. This is his cousin, John the Baptist. I mean, this is the one from birth. Angels came and predicted you're going to pave the way for him." And John the Baptist is facing death, and he's like, "Can you just confirm? Like, I just need to know. I'm about to be martyred. I'm about to lose my life. I just need to know, are you the one?" And Jesus doesn't look at John the Baptist and go, "Get away from me. I cannot believe you would ask me that." No, he goes, "Hey, go tell John the Baptist. Remind him of everything you have seen and heard. Remind him of who I am. Remind him of how I have proved to you over these last 3 years, over my miracle virgin birth, like all of these things. Remind him of the Old Testament. Remind him of who I am. Jesus, he just comes right along. He says, you give me that question, and I'm going to reaffirm who I am in you and in your heart. In James chapter 4, he says it like this: draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I love that. That is a hidden promise for you and I to hold on to. I'm going to draw near to God, and as I draw near to him, he's going to draw near to me. It's like a loving father. When your kid comes up with their hands open like this and they wrap your hand around your leg, you're not like, get off my leg, what's going on, right? Like, you know, you're picking them up, you're like, yes, let me give you that hug back. And it fills us, right? And we get this picture with God. God is saying, don't lean away. I know it hurts. I know you have questions. I know you're angry. I know you're scared. I know you don't know what's next. But let me help you with it. In fact, I love this. If you're reading, I'm saying I love this a lot because I love it, okay? In the book, Gentle and Lowly, we see the heart of Christ, the character of Christ. And Dane Ortlund says this. He says, when you come to Christ for mercy and love and help in your anguish and perplexity and sinfulness, you are going with the flow of his own deepest wishes, not against them. Sometimes we are made to believe, I believe from the enemy, that I can't bring this to God. Like, he can't know what I'm thinking. He can't, like, I cannot bring my hurt. I cannot bring my shame. I cannot bring my mistakes. I cannot bring my shortcomings. Like, I can't bring that to God because I feel too guilty. I can't believe, I'm disappointed in myself. All of these things. But God is going, no, it's in my deepest nature to comfort you. It's in my deepest nature to walk with you. It's in my deepest, you are my son. You are my daughter. I sent my son to die for you so that you can live again, so we can have this relationship. He's saying, come to me. And I believe we see this over and over in the Bible because God knows his children. God knows his kids. And we see this over and over. He's like, come to me. Come. Every time we see Jesus want to take us to another level, he brings the relationship back up with him. He doesn't say, hey, here's the checkpoint list of all these things you need to do. He's like, no, draw near to me and I'll give you the next step. Draw near to me. I want to heal that in you first. Draw near to me and I want you to have my presence. I want you to experience my peace. I want you to experience my rest. I want to help you, whether it be day by day, whatever it is, I want to walk with you. I want to draw near. And I believe that is a characteristics that you and I can live out. That in moments of that hurt and anger, we can take the mask off and go, God, this is it. Some of us, right? Like sometimes we need a good cry session before God, right? Like we need to get out in the woods. Maybe we don't want anybody else to hear us, but we just cry out to God. This is what's going on. I am angry about my job. I am angry about what's going on. This hurt me. I don't know what to do. In fact, I have more questions than answers. And what is going on, God? And God is there like a good father sitting and he's listening. And he's holding on. And there's a story. Lucas is here. I got approval. Okay. There's a story of Lucas. And one of the things they like to do, if you know here in Bluffton, there is a skate park, a pretty nice skate park. It's made out of concrete. They got like a big pool area, big ramps and all those different things. And our kids beg us to take them out there every once in a while. And so this one particular time we took them out there and a couple of them were on scooters. Some of them are on their bikes. And we're not like a BMX family, okay? So they don't know all the tricks and all those things. And some of these ramps are pretty big, right? Some of these ramps are pretty tall. And so the two older boys are on their scooters. And my boys are very adventurous. They, you know, they're looking to climb, and like they want to go the highest ramp out there. There's like, that's me, right? Like, I'm not settling for this little thing right here. Like, I'm going down. And so they're finding all these big ramps. They're in concrete, and so they're going down, and as they get more confident, they're going to like bigger ramps, right? And there's other kids that are out there too. And so if you're a parent, you're a nervous wreck, because people are down there, like teenagers are flying by doing cool little tricks, and everything is concrete, okay? And so they're riding their scooters, and Lucas gets up to the top, and he's going down, and he goes down to the scooter. Well, he turns around, and he's like, I can make it back up, right? And he's like, I'm going back up the way I came down. And so he goes up, makes it about halfway, because the ramp, I mean, it's probably taller than I am, and he starts to slow down, and then he comes down backwards because he didn't make it, right? And I just see him kind of look over at me like, oh, no, right? And he's going down, and he starts going down backwards. Well, this other kid comes flying up behind him. And because he didn't know Lucas was going to turn around and come backwards, right? And all of a sudden, he's on a bike, Lucas is on a scooter, and they boom, and they just hit. And so it's one of those things, as like a parent or another adult, you see it, and you just immediately, you just run over there, because you're like, this is going to hurt, right? This is not going to be good. And so he hits the ground, and he starts to wake up, or he starts to stand up, and I can see that he's hurting, right? But he's not going to show you, right? Lucas, like, he's not going to show you that he's hurting. Like, he could just see that, and it's and all of a sudden, he gets up and he just starts looking like this. He just starts looking around. I know he's looking for me. So I'm running over there. I'm like, hey, look at you. Okay, okay, right? And as soon as I get him, I pick him up and I turn like this. He has a moment where he's just like, oh, it hurts. That it hurts, right? And he just stops. He's like, it hurts. It hurts, right? All this moment, he just kind of loses it right there in a minute. And I'm carrying him away. You know, I got to protect him. You know, I carry him away. I'm like, let's go away from everybody. And all of those moments. But I think about that story, and I think about this principle, and that a lot of times you, and including myself, we are hurting before God. But yet we wake up in the morning and we're, right? Like, we're trying to hold it in, right? Like, we're trying, like, oh, I can't look. God, I don't want God to see this. I don't want my friends to see this. I don't want my family to see this. Like, I need to be before God. And all of a sudden, if I can just look up and find where I can get close to God, where can I get close to God? Let me get into his word. Let me find my small group. Let me get my people. Let me get to church. Whatever I got to do, let me get before God in prayer and just fall into his arms and just unleash it unto him. And he is a good father who comes in and doesn't chastise us for that moment, but picks us up and says, yes, give it to me. Let me help you in this. Let me walk with you in this. When tragedy hits, draw near to God. Find him. Get our focus on him, because honestly, I don't have to tell you, sometimes it's hard to even know, like, what's today? Tuesday? Like, what's going on? Like, in those moments of hurt, it's hard to get our mind right. But God says, I am your rock. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Keep your focus. Hold tightly to me and who I am. And we see Naomi in this moment of tragedy going, you know, I don't know everything, but I've heard God is moving there. I don't know everything, but I know if I can get back to where I'm from, maybe it'll resurface some things for me to get back close to who God is, and I can experience him, and he can help me and guide me along the way. And then we continue on here. We see that Naomi, what does she do? She comes in this moment. She's trying to move back, but she brings Ruth and the other daughter-in-law together, and she says, hey, I want you to be released. One daughter is kind of like, okay, thank you, I love you, but I'm going to go back to my land. Well, Ruth comes, and she sees Naomi, and Ruth stops, and she has this conversation with Naomi, which is pretty incredible. And this is where we pick up here in verse 15 through 18. This is the conversation between Ruth and Naomi. Remember, they're the daughter-in-law there, so they have no legal obligation to kind of walk together. But Ruth begins to change her heart, or Ruth's kind of doubles down on their relationship. This is what she says here in verse 15. It says, and she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts from me, from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said, no more. I mean determined, right? Like Ruth had a whole speech. She's like, your people are my people. Your gods are my God. Like, I'm not separating this. And whatever comes before us, I am with you, Naomi. And I love this. And this is huge. This could almost be an entire series on itself. But as we get to the second half of this, I love this because Ruth's name actually means friendship. Ruth's name, it's like God kind of ordained her to open it up here in this moment. We're going to see so much happen through Ruth over the next few weeks. But I love this. And this is what you and I need, especially in moments of hurt, especially in moments of tragedy. But we also need this every single time. You and I need a Naomi and Ruth relationship in our lives. We need a Naomi and a Ruth relationship in our lives. And I love this because all of us need, I love this, a Ruth is someone who is loyal to you and your overall well-being. A Ruth is going, you know what? I am with you, Alan. I am with you, Jacob. Not because, Jacob, you're a worship leader. Not because you're awesome at guitar. Not because of who your friends are. Not because of how much money you make. Not because of your title at work. Not because you've got this network that's expanding, right? Like, I am here for you. I am here for your overall well-being. Like, it don't matter what your title is outside of this place. Is the life may change, right? People may come and go, but I am here for you. I am walking with you. I want what's best, what God wants for you. And I believe we see a beautiful picture of discipleship. We see a beautiful picture of Ruth going, I am with you because you love me. You are investing in me. You are walking with me. And I'm going to reciprocate because I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to walk with you. This friendship that we have, this united place that we have together becomes a vital part of both of their growth. And we see a picture of friendship in the Bible that I believe can speak to us today. I believe that loyalty can speak in incredible ways. And I see it's a characteristic that is given from God because we serve a loyal God, right? We serve a faithful God who is there in the mix. And our title that he cares about the most is child of God, right? He is walking with us every step of the way. And I'm going to get a little practical here, and then we're going to close, okay? And two quick things that I want us to get here is we need, I'm going to use this term here, okay? We need a spiritual guide, and we need to help spiritually guide someone else. I believe that you and I need a moment when we draw near to God, when we're hurting. In fact, when we want to grow spiritually, one of those vital pieces is having somebody to spiritually guide us, right? Like if we want to get in shape and we want that to do that quickly, we need to know what to do, we need to know what direction we need, then what do we get? A personal trainer, right? Somebody that has studied it, somebody that is farther along than us, somebody that understands that, right? One of the quotes when I first started working out, they're like, you know what? I'm not going to have a personal trainer that I'm in better shape than they are, right? Like, come on, right? I'm not going to. And so for you and I, like, we need to have a spiritual guide who is further along than us. I love the word spiritual guide because sometimes discipleship can get diluted or whatever that may be. It's the same thing. Discipleship, spiritual guide, somebody investing into us, somebody that when we're hurting can come alongside of us and go, look, I'm going to help you get back towards God. Like I'm going to help walk you towards this. I know, look, right now you got questions and maybe you're not thinking clearly, but I'm here for you to help you get closer to God, help you to draw near to him. And this is what Naomi was for Ruth, because Naomi looks at her and she's like, yes, I'm going to show you who my God is, right? And Ruth follows her and she says, you know what? I may not fully understand who your God is, but I'm loyal to you. I'm going to follow you. We actually see this principle in the New Testament. We see Paul and Timothy. We see Barnabas and Paul. And in fact, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. You guys still good? All right. It says this. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's such a clear picture. And honestly, it adds a little bit of weight, though. Paul says, follow, keep your eyes on me. Follow my spiritual habits. Follow the way I do life. See how I interact with people. See, follow me until I can get you, until you can get to the point where you're following Christ on your own, until you can begin to get filled up. But Paul says, look, just keep your eyes on me because I'm headed towards God. I'm headed towards Jesus. I'm walking for spiritual maturity. And if you follow me, you're going to follow into that path. You can pick up some of these things. Now, that adds a little pressure to you and I, right? It's going, what are my spiritual habits? Because I believe that, one, yes, we are getting invested in, but once we come to the place where we're mature enough right now, we want to do the same thing for somebody else, where they can follow us. Hey, right now you may not know exactly what to do, but just follow me. Follow me until you can get your eyes back on Jesus. Follow me until you can get to the place where you're doing this on your own, and I'm just going to check up on you. I'm going to follow with you. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for you in this. And we see this beautiful picture of guiding each other spiritually, of somebody investing in me and then me investing in someone else. And then a couple of quick takeaways as we clean here, because one is, it can be easy for you and I to go, you know what, that's my person. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, we want to continue on God's path and God's plan. So I'm not following them into sin, right? I'm still following them into God's plan and what he's called us to. And as they are following God, I am following them. But we can't do this for everybody, right? Like, we can't physically, emotionally, and spiritually be a Naomi to everybody, right? But we can be a Naomi to somebody. You and I can be a Naomi to somebody. If you're taking notes, that's the last quick little note. You can't be a Naomi to everyone, but you and I can be a Naomi to someone. To someone, to look at them and go, look, I don't have it all figured out. I promise you, I don't have all this God relationship thing figured out. I'm still working through it. But look, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. I want to invest in you as we're walking in this thing together. And so as we pray about these three things, I want to give us three takeaways as I close. And Jacob and Christy are going to come back and sing. But three takeaways here. The first one is, in the moments of tragedy, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to draw near to God? Today, what do I need to do to take that step towards God? Maybe it's, we just talked about our small groups, but as a church, we're doing something called 40-day prayer challenge. And so it's a moment for us to repurpose our heart of going, you know what? I may be, over the next 40 days, I may sacrifice some things in my life to get to the heart of prayer. Maybe I say for the 40 days, I'm not going to watch Netflix. I'm not going to watch TV. Or we're doing this fast from Tuesday night to Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Maybe you say, I'm not going to look at my phone from, unless it's an emergency, okay? So I'm not going to look at my phone for that 24 hours. And every time I reach for my phone, I'm going to say a prayer, right? Like every time I feel it buzzing, because, you know, we got our mind tricks now. My phone's buzzing. It's not even on me. But it's like every time I go for it or I feel it, I'm going to stop and go, okay, God, I'm giving that up because I want to pray to you. God, can you speak to my heart, God? Can you guide me in this? Or maybe you want to do a food fast, and every time your stomach rumbles, you're like, I'm going to pray to God in here in this moment, right? Like, I'm going to just reset my brain. I'm seeking. I'm drawing near to him. I want to encourage you, what do I need to do over these next 40 days? How can I draw near to God? Maybe it's, hey, my family, we're going to start coming together over these 40 days, whether it's one night a week, multiple, every night, whatever it may be. We're going to pray together. We're going to seek after, we're going to draw near to God as a family. Whatever that may be, what can you and I do to draw near to God? The next one is, I want to ask you this question for each and every individual, no matter your age or whatever it may look like, but who is guiding you? Who is guiding you? Who is investing in you? Maybe you begin to think, if you're listening online or even in the room, and you hear that question, and you're like, well, I don't know if anybody really is intentionally. I don't know if anybody is where they know what's going on in my life. They know what my hurts. They know my struggles, and they're praying for those things specifically, and they're investing. This is my next step spiritually, and they're helping me take that step. And if you don't have someone, here's a few things that you can do. One is begin to pray that God would bring someone into your life. Begin to pray that God would connect someone, and you'll be amazed at the timing of God when you start to pray for someone, and all of a sudden you'll start to notice, like, wait a second, I didn't even think about about them. And now they're talking to me, they're investing in me, and God begins to stir our things behind the scenes. Another thing is the same thing. Keep an eye out for somebody maybe you're already close to, maybe somebody in church or somebody that you know is further along in Christ than you are. Somebody that maybe is walking a lot closer to God, and you begin to ask them questions. Hey, tell me, can you help me out with this next step, right? Like, we take that step, and it may not be a full-on, hey, will you be my spiritual guide, right? Like, it may not be that conversation, but it could be going, hey, what can I read? What would you suggest where I am in my life? What could I read next? What book of the Bible should I read? Or maybe you come up to them and say, hey, I just read this in John last night, and I'm trying to figure this out. Can you help walk with me in this? Can you help me understand this? And then all of a sudden, you're building this relationship with somebody who can invest in you. Or maybe somebody begins to pray with you in that. And I'm going to give you two insanely easy steps that you could do right now to help open up this is join the women's group or the men's group. If you're a female, obviously join the female group here. But the insanely easy step for me to go, okay, you know what? Once a month, I'm going to get around a bunch of other guys. And in that circle, they're talking about things spiritually. And I may find somebody in there who's further along than me. And I'm praying, God, would you speak to me? All of a sudden, now I can enter into that relationship. And then the next one is, who is following you as you follow Christ? And one thing for you and I is, because it can be weird to walk up and be like, hey, can I be your spiritual guide? Right? Like, hey, can I disciple you? Right? But it works the same way for you and I. Begin to pray and say, God, will you place somebody in my path? Will you place somebody in my life who I can invest in? Who I can, as I'm following Christ, maybe that is, and you will be so surprised all of a sudden you start to hear somebody starts asking you questions. Hey, I just read this in the book of John. Can you? And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, hang on a second. Maybe I can start investing in them. Maybe I can start walking with them, being intentional with them. And I'm talking about, we can't do this for everybody, right? Like, we can't walk through church going, I'm just slapping you. No, but it's, hey, I'm investing my whole self into these few people. Jesus had his 12 disciples, but then he had his three, right? Like, he had those three that he brought up to the hill of transfiguration that he gave special attention to, where he invested. We see this layering that Jesus had with his disciples in his relationship. And you and I can have the same. What spiritual habits can I help somebody else invest in? How can people follow me as I follow Christ? And we begin to see this beautiful picture of how God is helping us and walking with us in this. And then we even see, even in the midst of tragedy, how God can still give us hope. God can still give us purpose. Naomi just lost her husband and her two sons, and she is walking spiritually and bringing Ruth along. And I can promise you, just from experience, there are days probably Naomi did not even want to get out of bed, but she said, Ruth is coming over. I got to get up. Let me get the house straight, because Ruth is coming over and I got to invest in Ruth, right? Like, all of a sudden, I got to get up today. Ruth is counting on me, right? Like, it's in those moments that God instilled someone in her life, gave her a purpose, gave her a life, began to speak into her. And we see God begin to move in and through us and these relationships for you and I. And so I just want to pray for us today, pray for us as a church. And I believe that God can speak to us during these moments and during these times. And this is just chapter one, right? It's already like God is speaking, directing us in this chapters. But my prayer is that you and I could see this friendship between Naomi and Ruth and go, God, I want that in my life. God, I need that in my life. Help me. Give me the intentional steps to walk into that, to experience that. God, I need you. I want to draw near to you, God. Make that clear for me. Help me, fill me, comfort me in this moment. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. Thank you, God, that thousands of years ago, you began to move in the life of two women. And you began to move and work, and you're still speaking principles, God. Thank you that your truth is truth, and it is timeless, that it stands the test of time. God, I pray for each and every person that can hear my voice. God, I pray that you would just impress on their hearts. I pray that you would help them to draw near to you, God. I pray that you would comfort them. I pray that you would give them peace. I pray that you would give them hope, God. I pray that you would do what only you can do, and that's continue to change lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would illuminate people in our minds that, God, maybe we're a Ruth and we need someone to invest in us, God, someone to help guide us. I pray that you place the right people at the right time. I pray that it becomes a testimony in each individual's lives, God, of how you're connecting those right people. God, I pray that you would fill us up. And I pray that we would not just continue to follow, but we would also look back and go, who's following me? God, I pray that you guide us each and every step. I pray that your word will continue to help us. I pray that maybe this week for the first time we get real before you, God. Maybe during this response song, God, we take this moment and we say things to you, God. Maybe we haven't spoken to you yet. And I pray that you begin to move in that moment, God. I pray if anybody needs prayer, I pray that we would pray together as a church. We would walk together in this. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Listen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.